जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपीजना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन, यमुना तीरावनचारी, यमुना तीरावनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन, यमुना तीरावनचारी, यमुना तीरावनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज प्राचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद् हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, एक्सक्यूज मी, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग। थैंक यू। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29, Talks Between Narada and King Prachina Barhi, Text 7. This verse talks about our dear most friend. Brihadbalam manovidyad ubhayendriya nayakam पांचाला पंच विषया यन्मध्ये नवखं पुरम्, बृहद्बलं मनोविद्याद् उभयेन्द्रियनायकं पंचाला पंच विषया यन्मध्ये नवखं पुरम् बृहद्बलं मनोविद्याद् उभयेन्द्रियनायकम् पञ्चाला पञ्चविषया यन्मध्ये नवखं पुरम् Thank you. Ladies, please. उभयेन्द्रिय नायकं पञ्चाला पञ्च विषया यन्मध्ये बृहद्बलं वेरी पावरफुल मनः द माइंड विद्यात् वन शुड नो उभय इंद्रिय of both groups of senses, Nayakam, the leader, Panchalah, the kingdom named Panchala, Pancha, five, Vishayah, sense objects, Yet, of which, Madhye, in the midst, Navakam, having nine apertures. Puram, the city. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The 11th attendant, who is the commander of the others, is known as the mind. He is the leader of the senses, both in the acquisition of knowledge and in the performance of work. The Panchala kingdom is that atmosphere in which the five sense objects are enjoyed. Within that Panchala kingdom is the city of the body, which has nine gates. Purport. The mind is the center of all activities and is described here as Brihadbala, very powerful. To get out of the clutches of Maya, material existence, one has to control his mind. According to training, the mind is the friend and the enemy of the living entity. If one gets a good manager, his estate is very nicely managed. But if the manager is a thief, his estate is spoiled. Similarly, in this material conditional existence, the living entity gives power of attorney to his mind. Even if he doesn't give it, it takes it. As such, he is liable to be misdirected by his mind into enjoying sense objects. Srila Ambarish Maharaj, therefore, first engaged his mind upon the lotus feet of the Lord. Savai Manaha Krishna Padaravindayoho. When the mind is engaged in meditation on the lotus feet of the Lord, the senses are controlled. This system of control is called Yama, and this means subduing the senses. One who can subdue the senses is called a Goswami, but one who cannot control the mind is called Godasa. Godasa. The mind directs the activities of the senses, which are expressed through different outlets, as described in the next verse. I'm going to read a set of verses because it gives sort of an overall picture of what Narada Muni is describing. So please be patient and we'll go through a few verses. Someone can inform Leela Manjari which verse to write tomorrow. Okay, text number 8. Akshini nasike karnau mukhau shishnau gudaviti dve dve dwarau bahiryati yastadindriya samyutaha. The eyes, nostrils and ears are pairs of gates situated in one place. The mouth, genital and rectum are also different gates. Being placed into a body having these 9 gates, the living entity acts externally in the material world and enjoys sense objects like form and taste. Purport. Not being aware of his spiritual position, the living entity, directed by the mind, goes out through the 9 gates to enjoy material objects. Because of long association with material objects, he forgets his real spiritual activities and is thus misled. The entire world is going on being misled by so-called leaders like scientists and philosophers who have no knowledge of the spirit soul. Thus the conditioned soul becomes more and more entangled. Akshini nasike asyam iti panchapurakrata dakshina dakshina karna uttara chottara smritaha paschime iti adho dwaro gudam sishnam ihochyate. 2 eyes, 2 nostrils and a mouth, altogether 5, are situated in the front. The right ear is accepted as the southern gate and the left ear is the northern gate. The 2 holes or gates situated in the west are known as the rectum and genital. Purport. Of all sides, the eastern is considered most important, primarily because the sun rises from that direction. The gates on the eastern side, the eyes, nose and mouth, are thus very important gates in the body. Text 10.
Khadyota virmukhi chatra netre ekatra nirmite rupam vibhrajitam tabhyam vichashte chakshusheshvaraha.
The 2 gates named Khadyota and Avirmukhi, which have been spoken of, are the 2 eyes side by side in one place. The town named Vibhrajita should be understood as form. In this way, the 2 eyes are always engaged in seeing different kinds of forms. Purport. The 2 eyes are attracted by brilliant things like light. Sometimes we find that little insects are attracted by the brightness of fire and thus enter into it. Similarly, the 2 eyes of the living entity are attracted by bright and beautiful forms. They are entangled in these forms exactly as the insects become attracted to fire. So tomorrow we need text 11 on the board. I mean, there are more, but I want to focus for now up till here. So tomorrow we'll continue from text 11 onwards. So I have a question. How is it
that the mind can be a friend and an enemy at the same time. How it is being used. Okay, good. If it is controlled, is a friend. If it is not controlled, is the worst enemy. This is important teaching from Bhagavad Gita 6th chapter.
Therefore, the mind is intelligence. It depends on how the intelligence is, what intelligence is getting affected.
Okay. In the conditioned state, though, the intelligence becomes subservient to the mind. The material intelligence, although supposedly higher, becomes subservient to the mind. Correct. Very good. Mother Kirtida, you had your hand raised. Okay. Yes. Right. Very good. Very good. Good. Think of the mind as a spy, whose main objective within this material conditional existence is espionage. So in espionage, always feeds him friendly information. But the real purpose is to stab him in the back. Okay? This is how the mind works. It tells us that I'm feeding you such nice information. Oh, do this. This will be nice for you. Do that. You will enjoy. Do this. And you will enjoy. And behind all of it is actually plundering the living entity. Very, very tricky. Trickster, actually. And you know that just from a materialistic example, in big wars, when two countries are against each other, yes, they are afraid of their military power. One country is afraid of another country's military power. But they are really afraid of who? They are really afraid of the spies who infiltrate the enemy. They're very, very effective. Spies can give and share such misinformation. They can also take away from, let's say, this country that's on war with the other country, they can take away from this country vital information and send it out. And so countries are always afraid of espionage more than in the military power. Because by the time the military power comes for a face-off, it's time for war and everyone's full national patriotic spirits rise. But it's the espionage that actually weakens a country because information is vital. So like that, the mind is a perfect spy. Pats us on the back, you know, really boosts our false ego, like anything. But behind all of that is keeping us conditioned in this world. Very, very, it's called surreptitious behavior. And the foolish living entity, foolishness that it trusts the mind, oh yeah, that must be true. Because the soul by nature is very innocent. It's a part of Krishna, very innocent. But the false ego is not innocent. The false ego conditions the soul into thinking he is someone or something that he is not. This is called misidentification. So the little living entity thinks, yes, I am the king of this place. Yes, I am a tiger. Yes, I am this ferocious lion. Or I am a demigod. And the mind convinces the living entity, yes, you are this. So therefore, you should act like this. And it says, Brihad Balam Mano. The mind is extremely powerful. Ubhaya Indriya Nayakam. Nayaka means leader, one who directs, one who controls. Ubhaya Indriya is these two sets of senses, the working senses and the knowledge acquiring senses. He's the leader of these two sets. He directs, this is what you should be looking at, this is what you should be smelling, this would be nice to touch. And then he tells the working senses, go do this, touch that, pick this, walk here, say like this. And so the senses simply carry out these orders. So I'm sure we all have experience, I do, that there are many times we don't want to say something and we blurt it. We don't want to do something and we don't want to touch or pick something and we pick it. We don't want to walk somewhere and we find ourselves there. We don't want to look at something, but we do. And the mind controls, not just who we look at, what we look at, but the mind also controls what not to look at. And it all depends on what the mind feels is right at that moment. You know, if you're in a group and some devotee is acknowledging our presence, yes, yes, then the mind says, look at the person. We make eye contact, they say yes, yes. We feel happy, oh, yeah, yes, there's some connection. And if some devotee disagrees with us, this is just for example, then the mind says, don't look at them. Don't look there. Because when you look there, they'll make a face at you, or they're not sure what you're saying, and that really bothers you, to don't look at them. So we glaze and we just sort of ignore persons. If someone is giving us a hard time, then the mind tells us, hey, you can also be an ice box. You can give them a cold shoulder. And then we give them a cold shoulder. Ah, very good. Something. The mind completely controls as a director what we can do, what we cannot do, what we should do, what we should not do. That's how powerful he is. It is, the mind. And Arjuna gives an example. He says, my dear Krishna, don't ask me to control the mind. You ask me to control this raging wind. I can easily control it. But this little guy, the mind, I cannot. And this raging wind, there's an example, right? I mean, just to get a sense in terms of comparison, how strong is wind? Each summer, billions, starting with a B as in B for boy, billions of gallons of water is vaporized and carried into the sky and stored in clouds, right? So the clouds are, although look very light, they're very heavy with water. It's heavy, but it is stored in the form of vapor, so it seems very light, and the billions of gallons of water are there in the clouds. And the wind moves these clouds, the billions of gallons of water, from one end of the planet to a completely different part of the planet. So all the waters that vaporize from the Pacific Ocean are pushed into mainland. That's the power of wind. And they can move these clouds to wherever, different parts of the planet, and nourish the land. Prabhupada describes the wind as so powerful that by the power of wind, all the planets are in their orbits. Very amazing how that happens. And Arjuna says, I can control that. But I cannot control the raging mind. And the whole idea of spiritual life is to control this raging mind. Oh, very tough. Very, very tough. This is why yogis find it very difficult. And materialists don't even try. Right? They're called mudhas. We as materialists are called mudhas because we don't even try to control the mind. In fact, we argue, why should I control the mind? The mind is telling me what to do. I like that. I don't want to control it. Or the foolishness is into thinking, yes, I've controlled my mind. When we go out for outreach and we meet people, many times people will tell us, I can control my mind. I can control it. If I put my mind to something, I can do it. I just have to tell my mind, let's do this, and it happens. They think that the material sort of determination is what's the meaning of controlling the mind. For example, I'm very determined to become very successful at my workplace. And I work very hard. So because I'm very determined, I feel my mind is controlled. Because one of the aspects of a controlled mind is determination. Because as intelligence becomes stronger, the mind becomes controlled. And it becomes controlled by the element of determination. So people are determined to becoming successful. People are determined at, doing something within this material world. And that is called mind control for them. But they don't understand. They're completely under the subjugation of the mind. It's like a pawn. Tell the pawn, you have all the power to do whatever you like. But the queen or the king decides what you do or what you don't do. And the pawn thinks, oh yeah, I'm the master. I can do whatever I like. And we usually joke about wife and husband like this. I've said it in the past. The husband says, I am the master of this house. And I have my wife's permission to say so. Until then, he can do whatever he likes. And the wife directs, Yes. So this false sense of control is actually the mind's control over the person. So this so-called determination to do something in the material world is not actual determination. So this is how the mind controls the person. So here Prabhupada says, one gets a good manager, his estate is very nicely managed. But if the manager is a thief, his estate is spoiled. He loses everything. So in this analogy, the parallel is, if our mind is good, then the soul is relieved. Mantra. The soul is relieved from this bondage. The soul is relieved from the hard knot of material existence. And if not, then the mind takes the innocent soul into a worse body. The advantages of being in a human body are immense. Immense. We have beautiful language to share with each other. We have emotions to share with each other. I don't think dogs share emotions with each other. Or for that matter, like Gokulananda Prabhu says, kukarajas. They don't share emotions. They share all our food. They take away our temple. They control everything. But being in the human form, we have a fantastic advantage. We can think about Krishna. So the next condition, if the human form is not utilized, the next condition is a worse condition. Instead of two legs, it gets four legs. Or maybe more than four legs. This morning I saw a centipede in my house. And runs so fast. I had to tell the centipede, don't worry, I'm not harming you. I'm not harming you. Don't worry. It works for some reason. You have to talk to Super Soul. This is the second time I've done it. The other day there was this big wasp in the house. and the wasp was resting on the window. And I can't go and hold the wasp in my hand and say, oh, I'll take you out. Because by nature, there is defense mechanism. And the wasp cannot understand English. I tried Telugu, it didn't work. So I had to literally speak with the super soul. You know, walk up to the wasp and say, I know you're afraid. I know you. When I come near you, you think I'm death personified for you. I don't want to harm you. I'm trying to help you. Please, and poof, goes right into the bag. I had a little sandwich bag so that it has some air to breathe. I can close it, take it out and let him go. The moment I said, I'm not here to kill you, I'm not here to hurt you, please, I'm here to help you. Zoop, goes right into the bag. This morning the centipede was there in the house. It's like big, you know, 100 feet, 100 little legs, and whoo, there's two tentacles out there. As soon as I walk close to him, runs in the opposite direction. So I had to go back with the bag in front of him and say, I'm not hurting you. This is for your safety. Please don't think I'm hurting you. Hare Krishna, please don't think I'm hurting you. Super soul, please let him know I'm not hurting him. So runs right into the bag. Close the bag, walk out to the door and go back. Hare Krishna. But to be in that form, especially from if we have some idea of Krishna consciousness and we're trying something, but we become foolish and do something terrible, to be in that form, completely oblivious to what life can provide. Hare Krishna. Such a sad situation. In the case of Bharat Maharaj, he became a deer. Even Bharat Maharaj became a deer, but he was blessed with full consciousness of his identity. I don't think we can expect that. We should not expect that. So our goal is keep going on the right track. And I was thinking the other day, okay, I'm practicing and I'm chanting 16 rounds every day, studying Prabhupada's books, serving the Vaishnavas, somewhere, if I really screw this up, I should use better language, if I really mess this up, I'll get another human form, maybe in some rich man's house. Whew, after all of this, back into a human form of life. Whoa, scared me. Like, wow. And the mind is the one that's telling me, why all this austerity? Look at that. Just so many people are really having a good time. It's not a good time, but that's how the mind tells us. Because every time you control the mind or try to, then the mind objects. So our method is not to take the mind head on. Hey, it's like fighting with King Kong. Our method is to befriend the mind. And that befriending process is the chanting of the holy name. Cheto Darpana Marjanam. By cleansing the mind becomes a friend. The mind who told us, yes, yes, do whatever you like, will warn us, I don't think this is good for you. Because to befriend the mind means to awaken the intelligence, like you said. The intelligence is the advisor. The mind is the desirer. And in the unfriendly mind, the advisor doesn't give good advice. In fact, he gives exactly the advice that is necessary for the mind to fulfill its desires. Today I feel like eating something Chinese. So the intelligence will say, oh, find on Google nice Chinese places. You can order something, home delivery, and you can have Chinese. That's how intelligence works. Today I feel like, blah, go ahead. This is how you get it done. Intelligence, the advisor, becomes the medium for allowing the mind to do what it likes. Today I don't feel like taking a bath. Yeah, why do you have to take a bath every day? You didn't sweat so much yesterday. And who takes a bath every day anyway? These devotees, they just over-exaggerate, you know, taking a bath three times a day. They just sort of over-exist, really. Too fanatic about these things. You know, everyone you see in the temple has actually taken a bath. Come on. You cannot tell. So it's all right. Something. I'm only giving one example. But however, the mind can take us into any orbit. And for each one of us, there is a very specialized orbit that the mind takes us into. Some of us space out, some of us become upset, some of us become whatever, you know, into our shells, something. But each of us, the mind has given a special orbit. And then we fit right into that orbit. Zoom, 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 zoom. Very treacherous fellow. As such, he is liable into being misdirected by his mind into enjoying his senses. So the senses are also, in one sense, inert because they're just directed by the mind. Whatever the mind says, they do. Indriyani parani ahur. Right? The sense objects are inert. Higher than them are the senses. Higher than the senses, or subtler than the senses, is the mind. Subtler than the mind is the intelligence. And yo buddhe stu parata saha. Higher than that is the living entity. So what happens is, by default, the living entity has given up his free will and has given it to the mind. My dear mind, you have the full power of attorney. Prabhupada's using this phrase in the purport. Now you do as you like. We use this phrase, this verse from Sikshastaka to our dear mind. Aslisya va padaratam pinastumam. Adarshanan marmahatam karotuva. Yatha tathava vidadatulam pato. Mat prananathastu sa evanaparaha. This verse, we give it to our mind. My dear mind, you are my master unconditionally. Whether you embrace me or make me broken-hearted or kick me in my face, it doesn't matter. Lifetime after lifetime, you are my unconditional master. Please do with me as you like, as you like. And the mind says, sure. Oh, you are my loving master. Power of attorney. In fact, the mind does things without even consulting us. Doesn't even tell us, can I do this? No, just, I have signed you up for this sense gratification. Oh, thank you very much. Such a rascal. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta calls the mind dushta. So it's dushta mana. In fact, as a Vaishnava, he calls the mind dushta. He says, dushta man, kaisera Vaishnav. My dear mind, my dear dirty mind, what kind of a Vaishnava are you? Pratishtara tyaje. Oh, you're running after adoration from others. And he calls, just to give us a good whack on the brain, on the mind, he says, this running after adoration from others is like having a fantastic taste for hog stool. If you like adoration, that means you like hog stool, according to Bhaktisiddhanta. He's telling us. So every time we see hog stools, oh, so attractive. That's how adoration is for a Vaishnava. Kaise Ramana, how are you like this? And Raghunath Das Goswami instructs the mind, Manasiksha. Hey, sit here. Be disciplined. But we have given the power of attorney. And the process of bhakti is to take it back from the mind. So you sit down. No need for power of attorney. We'll consult you when we need you. And the consultation to make sure that the mind, and the mind in one sense is all being fed by the false ego. because of misidentification. So the mind says, yeah, you think you're a hero, so this is what you should be doing. So Prabhupada gives us the example of Srila Ambarish Maharaj, Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindayo, that he absorbed his mind at the lotus feet of Krishna. This absorption of the mind is an important task for every spiritualist. If the mind doesn't have enough to contemplate, if the mind is not given enough to consider his identity, then the mind will take over. The mind will definitely take over. So this giving enough fodder to the mind is to give the mind things about Krishna. Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindayo. It will not work with anything else. If you give the mind dry speculative knowledge, the fellow will like it for the first few weeks and then is going to throw up. If you give the mind enough material aspirations, then he will drag you. He or she will drag you from one life form into another life form. Only the mind must only be given Krishna, Krishna related topics. So one of the ways to keep the mind in its proper or to discipline the mind, one of the ways, there are many ways, one of the ways given by His Holiness Vishnu Jan Maharaj was that you learn a verse every day. Some verse, learn it. Not just learn it like a parrot, but learn it to understand the meaning. During those moments, the mind is very fixed. And the thing is, the mind needs constant engagement. It's like a really agitated chimpanzee. And in the uncontrolled state, it has less attention span than that of a chimpanzee's. How much attention span does a chimpanzee have? This much. This is for a very controlled chimpanzee. The mind has less tolerance to anything because the mind is highly agitated. It's constantly looking for some way to direct the senses. So it cannot stay calm and absorb anything. Only when it is connected to Krishna can it slow down. Our minds are fast because of past experiences. Very, very fast. And they respond like that. To any situation, our minds respond very quickly. It's the reactive nature. And that reactive nature comes from the influence of mode of passion and ignorance. So goodness lifestyle helps control the mind. That's why there's so much emphasis on regulation. Nidra ahara viharasya. Yukta ahara viharasya. Yukta karma cheshtasaha. Yukta swapnava bodhasya yogo bhavati dukkha. The mitigation of suffering for a yogi goes away when he becomes regulated in all his activities. And regulated, most people think of it as balanced. Regulated really means guided by, under the direction of scripture and guru. That is real regulation. That's when the mind starts becoming more cooperative in the higher pursuit of life. Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindayo. When the mind is engaged in the meditation of the lotus feet, the senses are controlled. You give the mind a little crack, you know, little, and he can take away whole thing. So we say that a yogi should always be alert, should never give the mind a concession. Never give the mind a concession. We notice in our lives, if you like to do this exercise, that when we don't give our mind any concession, we're actually joyful. But there are times during the day when we let our mind have a little concession. It's all right. And it's those moments that the mind takes over completely. And those concessions come when we either feel tired or something and we feel really not inspired or whatever. The false ego has different varieties. We feel hurt, we feel neglected, we feel unacknowledged or something. For different people, it's a different set of things. That's when we let the mind have a little concession. All right. Because you've been my friend, you let me know the right things. Everyone else is not my friend. And the mind then very happily sings all these sweet nothings into our ears and we become very happy. That's right, that's right. And we let in, we give in to the mind. So, Jitendra Prabhu asked the other day, the system of control is called Yama, and this means subduing the senses. Does that mean that Yamaraj is the controller of the senses? No. Yamaraj means he is the superintendent of the rules by which the material energy is governed. Yama means those system or that system of rules by which one is subdued in this world. So, either we voluntarily follow Yama or we are forced to follow Yama. There are different sets of rules. We get the consequences accordingly. Yama is the system of rules. And so, at the end of life, we are, I guess the biblical phrase, I don't know so much about the Bible, but the biblical phrase is judgment day, right? So like that, there is judgment, that there are a set of rules and there is our behaviors in this world. And all that Yamaraj does is compares. Rule 1, broken a million times. Rule 2, about 3 billion times. Rule 3, boy, you're so terrible, you need a hog's life. You'll be happy, you won't break any rules then. Like that. So Yamaraj is the one who is the superintendent of all these rules. He looks at them. He is the personality who compares our behaviors with the rules. What have you done? Like in a court system, he's a judge. He doesn't make the rules, he doesn't make the law, but he makes sure that the laws are enforced. That's Yamaraj. And here Prabhupada says that one who follows the rules, one who follows the senses is called Godas. One who controls the senses is called Goswami. Swami means master. Goswami means is the master of his senses. We are dasa, dasa, nudasa of our senses. Our goal is to become dasa, nudasa, and das of our Krishna. In the early 70s, I think, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Vishnujan Maharaj, they all used to travel as part of the Radha Damodar traveling bus party. And they happened to meet a Hollywood personality. I think he was a director, if I'm not wrong. And he found the devotees very amusing because they all used to wear yellow, I guess, bed sheet or whatever at that time, and would be on the streets and singing and dancing. He thought it was very amusing. So they struck a little acquaintance and friendship with the devotees. And they wanted to make a Hollywood movie or something. But the devotees were not interested in that. Prabhupada really didn't encourage too much of it. So the devotees wanted to have some fun. So this Hollywood guy invited all his friends, invited the devotees as well to a party. And the devotees took a special garland and went to the director. And in front of all his friends, he said, "According to our Sanskrit terms, we would like to call our new friend Mudha Godas." And he said, "What does that mean?" "Oh, this is a great, great phrase, you know, that recognizes your greatness." So they hung the garland around his neck and called him Mudha Godas. And he was so happy, they all clapped. So the devotees had a little fun. Mudha Godas. So, oh, yeah, very nice. So Godas means one who has given in. More importantly, Godas is one who doesn't try to control his senses. A defeatist. "It's all right, whatever. It's okay." Or the senses are anyway too powerful. "I can't do anything about it." That giving in is the Godas mentality. The fighter is the Goswami mentality. And we give in because we feel we don't have the strength. And we will not have the strength if we are not in the association of Krishna. One who is very weak, his strength doesn't come from himself. One who is very weak always should be in the company of one who is very strong. And that's how they become strong. Have you noticed? Children, if they are by themselves, they don't feel so strong. The first thing they do is to run to their parents. And when the parents are standing with them, they feel strong. So like that, we're very tiny. And if we are very tiny and we take the mind head on, "Hey, you may be Goliath, but I'm David," it doesn't work. Mind's too big. So the little tiny jiva, if he's in the company of Vibhu, the infinite power Krishna, infinitely powerful Krishna, then the mind looks very small. Our strength comes from Krishna. If we fight the senses and mind on our own strength, then it's a next to impossible task. So good intelligence means, good intelligence will tell us, stand at the lotus feet of Krishna, be with Krishna, and then be with Krishna's devotees, and then look at things. Always, whatever situation, when the mind tells us something, the first thing to do, this is the cultivation of sadhana bhakti, is to move towards the position of standing at a position where we can feel Krishna's strength and then look at things. Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Haya Andhakar. Krishna is like the sun and Maya is like darkness. Standing in darkness, we cannot discern anything. We're just groping in the dark. And finally, there are these senses. They're all grouped in the body in a particular manner. In the eastern direction are the eyes, the nose, and the mouth. The right ear is the northern direction, the left ear is the southern direction, and the anus, so the rectum and the genitals, are in the southern direction. Our mind will give us a picture, how is the living entity? Horizontal this way or vertical this way? However, that's the eastern, western, northern and southern. I'm sorry, their rectum and genitals are in the western direction. And Prabhupada says, these are important. The eyes, nose and mouth are important because they're in the eastern direction. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur has told us that Tara Madhye Jivha Ati. Actually the phrase is Tara Madhye, in the middle of all of this, Jivha Ati Lobha Maya. But he's the greediest of all the senses. And Lobhamaya Sudurmati, Our mind is very greedy, and he uses the tongue to manifest his greed. Because by the tongue, we create our karma, either by what we eat or by what we speak. And every other sense then follows it. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving us a warning. Tara maddi jiva ati lobhumaya sudurmati. So how a yogi utilizes these senses are very important. That decides his elevation or degradation. And then there are some names that the two eyes are two gates. One is called Khadyota and the other is called Avirmukhi. And Vibhrajita is that personality through which the eyes contact form. Vibhrajita is the form that they see. So Khadyota and Avirmukhi see with Vibhrajita form. And they say, Prabhupada says, that the eyes are enamored, attracted by form. And so the living entity, by the direction of the mind, goes out of these nine gates to contact these forms and enjoys himself. He likes to look at beautiful things. He likes to look at very attractive things. And the problem is that beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder. So for some person, something very ugly can be very beautiful for someone else. It's all relative, completely. But he enjoys it through that. Okay, so any comments or questions? Anything you want to add? Yeah, Karuna Nidhipo.
What was that verse there in Bhagavad Gita? It was stating that the mind is carried away by just like boat.
Yeah,
mind
it's like Bhagavad Gita chapter 6.
Carried by like winds. No,
correct.
Like, my mind is just like boat.
Even if one of the senses are disaster, controlled, the mind gets carried away. I only know a phrase, prasabham manaha, 6:20. I have to check. I can't remember the verse by itself. It's like a boat that can be got. Correct. Thank you. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, you were making this point that a godas is one who gives up. He's just a defeatist. Oh, it's too much. My mind cannot be controlled. My senses cannot be controlled. Whereas a Goswami is a fighter. At least that's the mood. So then also we hear that it is required to cultivate a higher taste.
Correct.
Before there's any hope of actual sense control. So in the process of Bhakti Yoga, our primary emphasis is just cultivating the positive activities of,
correct,
like hearing, chanting.
Correct.
Then to what extent is it helpful or required to endeavor to control the senses,
yeah,
apart from that?
Yeah. So the fighter mood should not give us a picture that we are like a samurai and we have a sword and we are we have this face-off with our senses. The fighter mood means that we have a work, we have certain work to cultivate. That is the work of sadhana bhakti, giving our mind a higher refined sense, a higher refined object to contemplate upon. It is during the times of consternation or clash, when the mind pushes in the other direction, because the mind's not completely subdued yet, it pushes in the other direction. That is when the fighting spirit is what we call determination. We could call it determination. I said it just because it's a visual. That's when our determination is tested. And for a person who's developing that higher taste, that determination, I said, should not be that I'm going to do it by myself. You know? That determination should say, go be with the devotee. Take the devotee's association. Or take Krishna's association. For us, taking Krishna's association in a practical sense is to be with the devotees. That strength to move towards and being with the devotees is our fighting spirit. Versus, what do I surrender? It was too difficult for me. That higher taste is that in this situation right now, when the mind is, you know, really charging at me, I move to be with the devotees. That's the higher taste. That I want to be in the association of Vaishnavas and hear from them versus, hey mind, let's see what you got. One little slap and we're gone. That's higher taste. That I find myself in the association of Vaishnavas. Whenever the mind bothers us, or for that matter, the default is the mind is always bothering us, so we maintain constant association with the Vaishnavas. So maintaining association is not just being in the physical presence of. Sometimes being in the physical presence of is very strengthening. And we don't have to do anything. Just be in the presence of another devotee. They may be doing something. We just have to be there. And the mind becomes very calm. Or we take our mind directed towards, you know, their association, their instructions, their qualities, and immediately the mind, that's higher taste. That's a practical experience of higher taste. So we cultivate it. The times when the mind is cooperating with us, or at least tell, you know, we think the mind is cooperating with us, those are the times that we build our higher taste account. What is that English proverb? Make hay while the sun shines. You've heard that proverb? Oh, you don't? Make hay while the sun shines means when the sun is shining nicely, make good use of that time. Because tomorrow when it is cloudy and rainy, you have hay, you've already stacked, you have some invested equity that you can use. Don't waste that time. So the times when the mind gives us a little freedom, or the mind's really not so powerful, make good use of it. Build our spiritual asset, good association, good contemplations, good thoughts, good whatever. And when the mind is fine, then we have something to draw upon. If our account is nothing, then we cannot draw upon it. A visual that I've heard is each morning we have a little bucket. That's our heart. And by our chanting and associating and singing the prayers, we fill that bucket. Krishna fills that bucket with a lot of mercy. And then we take that bucket during the day, and then we dissipate, and then we put a little hole into that bucket. Sometimes it's a small hole, a big hole. Sometimes we let the whole bottom drop off, because we let the mind go into other places. Every time we let that, we put a hole into that bucket of mercy. And then we come back the next morning, samsara dava. We come back begging with that bucket. So the Guru and Krishna fill it up with a lot of mercy again. And then we take it during the day and we put big holes into it. Sometimes right at Mangal Arati only we lose the bucket. Where did I keep my bucket? Then we fill it up again. Samsara dava nalanita. Vande Guru Shri Charanaravinda. And then every day it's a little filling of the bucket and big holes. The practice is to recognize, oh, what's going on? Every day I'm putting holes into this. Let me make sure, at least not such a big hole, it's a tiny hole there, like that. That's the higher taste. Practically. You had something? We got to stop quickly.
Technical question.
I'm the wrong person. I don't know anything technical.
Okay, it's a more knowledge-oriented question.
Well, then you lost me completely. Well, I will talk later. You ask me about how to cook something, I can tell you. Actually, even Soumya is better cook. She can tell you.
Just a few points.
Okay.
For those who have acquired very few pious...
Can you speak into the mic?
Oh, for those who have acquired very few pious credits, take prasad.
Die.
Yeah.
I'm going right now.
Some never say what they think. No, some never say what they think, and some never think what they say. So, I was thinking about this devotee here years ago. He had a drinking problem. Uh-huh. He had a drinking problem. He had a hard time controlling his senses.
Uh-huh.
And he had a smoking problem. But he would dress up like a devotee. And he was behind the temple there, and he was associating with the firemen. He had his dhoti on and his bead bag, and he was wearing orange. And the firemen kind of knew he was kind of weak in his sadhana and stuff. So they gave him a beer and a cigarette.
And said, take it.
They gave him a beer and a cigarette. So he had his bead bag on and a beer in one hand and a cigarette in the other, and then they took his picture. And they said, look, he's controlling his senses. So he really had a hard time with that. But one time he came back after about 10 years. And he came to the temple, and he was intoxicated, but not so much. And he wanted to go to the evening program, but he really stunk. So the devotees let him take a shower. And they gave him a big bar of soap, brand new big bar, you know, one of those real big ones. And he went up to the shower, and he was in there for about a half hour. And he was so toxic, he used up like half the bar. And he comes out, and he... we gave him some fresh clothes, and then he came down to the evening program, and he still stunk because he was so toxic. And he came into the temple room, and it was just unbearable. You know, I mean, it just shows you how toxic you can get by if you go that way with the alcohol and stuff.
Mm.
Krishna, Arjuna says to Krishna, he says, to control the mind seems to be as difficult to control the wind. But you're saying that Arjuna says he can control the wind?
He said, I can even control the wind, but I can't control my mind.
He says he even can, but I thought he says...
It's like the raging wind.
Yeah, but I thought he said it's more difficult to control the mind than the raging
wind. It's a raging wind. But there are many examples where Arjuna has controlled the higher celestial powers.
Mm-hmm.
He even defeated the demigods.
Yes.
Who are the masters of all those facilities.
And then like Ambari.
But he's saying, I can't control my mind. It's the same Arjuna who can shoot an arrow into the eye of a fish that is above a high-speed fan by looking into its reflection in oil.
I thought it was a wheel.
Yeah.
It spoke through the wheel.
And he can do that.
Yeah.
But he's saying, I can't control my mind.
Right. I was just thinking, you know, in the hippie days, they say, you know, we had all these phrases running through our heads, and one of them was, leave your mind alone and just get high. You know, so that kind of took a lot of people away. And then another one was, if it feels good, do it, you know, and things like that.
That's the problem.
There was this other short story. This one devotee here, his name was Mitrasen, and his wife Mahara, and they had had a little boy named Mukunda. And my brother came to the temple. He just got out of the Gulf War, you know, about 20 years ago, and he came to the temple and he went into the gift store, and Mukunda, the little kid, he's real big now. You know Mitra Singh?
Yeah.
His son's real tall now, but he was a little kid then. And he was going really kind of crazy in the gift store, you know, and his mother was there, and she said, Mukunda, control your senses. So my brother, you know, he thought that was really a profound thing, you know, because he never heard anybody speak like that, you know. So he would always reflect on that, and he was saying, is Mukunda controlling his senses these days? But, and I was thinking, you know, like, I hope I'm not going too long here.
We've got to end, so.
Okay. Prabhupada said, well, we shouldn't really concern ourselves too much with the praise and defamation of the karmis, because, you know, whatever they say, it doesn't really have any bearing. It's not like It's not like the spiritual master chastising one of us or praising one of us. It's completely different, because I was thinking of with Jesus, they were praising him on Palm Sunday, and then Good Friday they were hanging him on a cross. So human nature changes so rapidly, so we shouldn't really be too offended or take to heart too much what they say.
Right. You know? It is said that a person with uncontrolled senses is not trustworthy.
Yes.
That means that a person with an uncontrolled mind cannot be trusted.
Right. So, yeah, that's pretty much it, Prabhu. Oh,
okay,
did
thank
I say,
you.
Yeah, that's it. Thank
okay,
you.
Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Sessions.